Justin Schmidt has been stung by nearly every insect with a stinger. He's a research biologist and professor at the University of Arizona's School of Entomology. He's graded the sting of every insect he could find, from the benign honeybee to the terrible tarantula hawk wasp. He tells Steve Paulson about his creation, the Schmidt Sting Pain Index.
A sweat bee and a fire ant are both one. They're sharp, and, you know, we kind of have an expletive and say, oh, rats, and, you know, go on with what we're doing. But they're not like a honeybee, which is clearly a lot more attention-grabbing than say, a sweat bee.
And then it goes up to four.
Yeah, four you don't want to experience. And fortunately, there aren't very many of them, and there's only really one that's in the U.S. It's the tarantula hawk. It's a huge wasp. It's usually gunmetal blue-black on the body, and it often has fiery, bright orange wings. And this thing is about 2 inches long. As their name says, they sting and paralyze permanently tarantulas.
They actually sting a tarantula?
Yeah, that was one of the fascinating aspects. You say, wow, you know, tarantula is such a fierce, strong animal, much bigger than the tarantula hawk. Why can't it win? And we don't really have answers for that. The tarantula almost seems to be paralyzed mentally before it's paralyzed physically.
So I have to ask, have you been stung by a tarantula hawk?
Unfortunately, yes. My initial feeling was, oh my goodness, it's like that power line that was above my head where we were a tree by the side of the road had snapped off and landed on my finger. Whoa! And, you know, you just sort of scream, and this is, you know, public forum, so I can't describe some of the words that I use, but you can well imagine.
My sense is that that's actually not the most painful stinging insect out there. It's actually the bullet ant of Brazil.
Exactly. And the reason is they're roughly the same acute pain. The tarantula hawk hurts that way for about 2 minutes, maybe three. And if you have a social audience around, you may be able to milk it for a few more minutes. But it comes on almost like an electric shock. And then it goes away the same way. It just all of a sudden 2 minutes, you're, oh, I'm fine. You know, I'm dripping wet, sweating. Every single hormone in my body was purged out into the bloodstream, and I'm exhausted, but I don't feel any pain anymore. The bullet ant, unfortunately, is rather different. It's about the same pain, except that it comes in waves. They come and they go a little less. They don't go. They go a little less. And this continues on for, are you ready? 12 to 24 hours.
Wow.
And there's nothing that I know of that can make it go away. I tried, you know, I was just the young postdoctoral student first time I got stung. And so we went to the local cantina in northeastern Brazil. I was in Belém. And they have good food, and they have very good beer, and they have ice. And I was trying all three of those, and it didn't work. I may have gained some weight, but I didn't make the pain go away.
But it sounds like it didn't stop your research.
Well, I've tried very hard not to get stung by them since, and many people have done a whole career or a good chunk of their career working on bullet ants and never been stung. And what I have to do is collect them and collect their venom, which means I have to get live ones. I've got to get them into containers, got to keep them in the container. And meanwhile, this is a colony of, 1 to 3,000, and they are very fast and very agile with very sharp stings and very sticky feet. So you can see you're up against a pretty formidable opponent.
I grew up hearing that if a bee stung you, it was, bad for you, but actually much worse for the bee. The bee would die once the stinger came out. Is that true? Do most bees actually die after stinging you?
That's right. All of them in the apis, that's the honeybees. And all of them can lose their stinger in you. And that was one of the problems that Darwin grappled with. He says, you know, how on earth can natural selection favor somebody who's committing suicide? And, well, if this benefits the bee's mother, if you kill the queen, well, that's pretty much the end of the colony. The reproductive unit is gone, like a little city is gone. It's worth sacrificing yourself to protect her. And then you say, well, why do you have to die? And the reason is that you're pretty big. You know, think of a honeybee as being little. But compared to its stinger, it's a good 100 times bigger. So you sting something, and it takes a while to get all that venom into you. But if you lose the stinger in there and you got the nerves and the muscles to keep it going, then they knocked you away and they don't know that, oh, I only got 10% of the dose. Well, guess what? Here's 90%. It allows them to get a rare impact on you where they can do some damage to deliver the full whammy.
You've written that from the human perspective, from getting stung, a sting is actually kind of like false advertising, that they tend to hurt far more than they really harm you.
Exactly. I realized when I got into this area that it was actually human psychology as much or more than it was insect venoms and pain. We are psychologically intimidated and frightened by this. It's one of these phenomena where the sting itself really isn't that bad, but boy, our reaction to it is much more serious than the actual sting itself.
What's been your worst experience, your greatest pain of getting stung?
Probably the worst was in Costa Rica, and it was this little black wasp that I didn't actually even know what it was. And it was in a colony, and I was away from where I usually was, so I had minimal equipment. And I was determined that whatever this thing was, pure black is intriguing, because black is one of those warning things telling you that I'm advertising that I'm nasty, I'm mean, and you don't want to mess with me. So are you lying or are you telling the truth to me? So that means in order to answer that, I have to catch them. And I put on my bee veil and I scooted up and I was going to bag it. And
well, you scooted up as in you were shinning up a tree or something?
No, just up a steep hill.
Okay.
And I tried to do that and they came out, just exploded. And oh, I didn't realize they can crawl through beekeeper veil. So I retreated back down quickly. And after getting, I don't know, 5 or 6 stings, and I said, well, we got to fix that. So I just happened to have a mosquito veil, the kind that you wear if you ever go to Alaska or the Northeast and you're in mosquito season, these swarms come to you. So I put that underneath. Said, aha, we'll get them this time. So I went back up there and, well, they went through the veil and that was fine. They couldn't get through the mosquito thing. But, oh, they were pretty good crawlers. And so they dug their way underneath the elastic on the mosquito veil. And there was another batch of stings. So I went fleeing back down and had my assistant. I said, look, we got a problem here. You know, these things are getting the better of me. And so this time we used half a roll of duct tape and we taped up all of the elastic areas all around where my gloves were, all around everything around where my bee suit was connected to my boots and everything else. And, well, I finally got it. But in the meantime, I had, I don't know, 8 or 10 stings. And these things really smart. They're Polybia, I think Satanus is what the name. But, you know, that's pretty much what they were. They were truth in advertising. They sure were.
Justin Schmidt is a professor and research biologist at the University of Arizona School of Entomology. He talked with Steve Paulson.